30 years of joyfulness. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News. The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM and Hits 103.9 FM here in Accra. Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi and around the world on myjoyonline.com. We're also live on all 16 regions via various affiliates. We're live on X Spaces, on Facebook and on YouTube. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, looming electricity tariff increase as Public Utilities Regulatory Commission considers 27% adjustment. We'll also tell you what's on the table for water tariffs. Meanwhile, Ministry of Energy and Green Transition has assured that despite losses being made by the ECG, strategies to ensure affordability and stable supply are being discussed to enable customer satisfaction.
Having an efficient distribution subsector where everything is done by industry standards so that we'll be able to globally keep loss levels under 10% as compared to the current levels, ensure customer delight.
Also in this bulletin, IGP Christian Teteyounu arrives in Boko on a fact-finding mission as he seeks to broker peace between feuding factions that has left dozens dead since last year.
I've come here as your son looking for peace in Boko.
And President John Dramani Mahama warns against false alarms as he fires back amid drug flight allegations, stressing that while the security agencies value public cooperation, they do not have the time nor resources for deception and distraction.
We will take all allegations of crime seriously and trigger our security service investigative machinery. But let me state emphatically also that we do not have the resources and time to engage in any game of smoke.
We'll tell you more as he announces that the Otumfo-led mediation process will resume next week, urging all parties involved to give peace a chance. These and more with me, Sweetie Abochi. Please stay. This is Joy News, fearless, independent and credible. There are emerging signs this afternoon that Ghanaians could be paying more for electricity and water as the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission weighs a possible tariff adjustment for the first and second quarters of this year. Joy News sources close to the ongoing closed-door discussions indicate that the Commission is considering a 27% increase in electricity tariffs and about 9.5% for water. The talks, however, ended in a stalemate earlier today and are expected to resume at around lunchtime. While no final decision has been communicated, the discussion comes at a time when the financial health of the Electricity Company of Ghana is in sharp focus. This increment was hinted by Finance Minister Dr. Kasiola Tofosun in the 2025 budget statement presented to Parliament.
ECG and NEDCO will implement a number of measures, including metering and implementation of private sector participation. Mr. Speaker, as agreed with the IMF by the previous administration, we will implement the following ESRP measures to achieve the structural benchmark of the IMF program. Mr. Speaker, PURC will continue to implement the quarterly tariff adjustment to reflect changes in inflation, exchange rate, and generation mix. Mr. Speaker, PURC will also undertake a major tariff adjustment which will be due in fourth quarter of 2025 to reflect capacity charges, additional liquid fuel usage, and additional capex.
So what exactly do we know from this meeting? And Joy News editor Fred Smith joins me with that. Fred, what do we really know from this
meeting? Well, we know that the commissioners are considering a proposal for 27% increment in tariffs for electricity. That has not been agreed yet. In fact, the commissioners are divided over that. The meeting this morning could not conclude on that. Another one is water. You know, Ghana Water has always raised concern about the difficulty in treating the water because of illegal mining and how our waters have become turbid. Now, a 9.5% increment is also on the table for water. That has also not been agreed. And so the commissioners ended that meeting this morning inconclusively, and they are to resume just about this time to try and finalize the increment.
And Fred, what different, or how is this different from the previous increments?
Well, the reason for this is straightforward. Exchange rate volatility, inflation, and changes in fuel prices. In fact, these factors are explicitly mentioned in the agreement Ghana signed with the IMF as part of the $3 billion extended credit facility. And that agreement included a provision for the implementation of quarterly tariff adjustments to account for the losses that the ECG is making.
Well, thank you so much, Fred Smith. And the PURC is expected to reconvene discussions this afternoon. It will keep you updated on that. Meanwhile, former managing director of ECG, Samuel Dubik Mahama, says for many years, ECG's revenue was not the best. Speaking at the Joy News National Dialogue yesterday, Mr. Mahama stressed that revenue for the power distributor had always been stagnant, mostly between 450 million CDs to 500 million CDs. According to him, though this increased to 1.5 billion CDs during his tenure, some fundamental issues have to be resolved to enable the company thrive.
ECG was never ever at the table in terms of revenue, because ECG's revenue was always flatlined. Now, the single way for you to collect revenue is through metering. Now, the question is, what's the lifespan of a prepaid meter? So PURC will do a beautiful job of giving ECG a tariff. ECG will fire the tariff into the meter while you are enjoying 2013 meter. Unfortunately for maybe Sule, Sule is on the 2022 meter, so he will receive the new tariff. All of these things require investment. You cannot have a multi-billion CD industry in Ghana and not invest in it. I sometimes hear the whole conversation around it, and then you realize that, look, yes, oh, this is ECG's debt, but nobody fails to calculate what portion of the debt falls under, what do you call it, forex losses. Because every single implement in ECG is in USD. You buy electricity in dollars, you sell it in CDs. By the time you are going back to procure those dollars to pay, what's the forex rate? And to use a better disclaimer, Ghanaians were brought up to hide everything we have. So the conversation is, oh, you are rich, you have money. He says, no, I don't have money. But he's building a house. Done building the house, doesn't go through the right channel. He's joined to the grid. A distribution transformer that you thought was supposed to carry about 15 homes, now carrying about 20, 25. Now the people in the area are complaining about, what do you call it, a low voltage. What do you have to do? And don't forget, low voltage is loss of revenue. You have to inject another transformer, you have to build new lines, you have to do this. Where are you going to get all of these things to do?
Also at the dialogue was the deputy director in charge of power at the Ministry of Energy and Green Transition, Suleiman Abubakar. And he admitted that Ghana lack of a fully efficient energy value chain, which greatly contributes to the power supply challenges facing the country. He, however, assured the ministry has begun reviewing strategies to create an enabling environment to address these challenges.
Having an efficient sector means having an efficient distribution in a subsector where everything is done by industry standards, so that we'll be able to globally keep loss levels under 10% as compared to the current levels, ensure customer delight. At the end of the day, get the right people will be able to power their appliances and work well. And every report that comes to the minister is taken very seriously. So the Honorable Minister has referred the report to appropriate state institutions to look into the merits, underlying causative factors, and if there is culpability, as to go over that and then address it. And the ministry is looking at it with all the seriousness and hopefully also the speed of, employing all the assets, the state's, powers to, as it were, prosecute this as, effectively as possible.
All right. Your takeaway and the way forward.
Okay, thank you. I think I want to draw Kujupuku's attention to the fact that there are
Suleiman Abubakar is the deputy director in charge of power at the Ministry of Energy and Green Transition. And if you missed the dialogue yesterday, you can catch it on our YouTube and all digital media platforms. In other stories, the Inspector General of Police, Christian Teteyuhonu, is in Boku today on a fact-finding mission to find a lasting solution to the impasse there. Boku has seen some violent actions this week in reprisals that left one person dead and the residence of the police commander torched. The IGP's team will engage engage fielding factions on the way forward. A while ago, President Mahama, speaking at a Ghana Military Academy graduation, announced that the Otumfuo-led mediation process will resume next week, and he urged all parties involved to give peace a chance and support efforts toward lasting resolution.
The flashpoint continues to be the Boko area. Only 2 days ago, an incident in a marketplace triggered an unfortunate loss of lives and criminal vandalism of property. I wish to emphasize that nobody gains from this situation of conflict and insecurity. We have triggered the Otumfuo mediation process, which saw all stakeholders participate in discussions in Kumasi on a roadmap towards peace. I'm assured by the Asantehene that the process next week, when he returns from his brief visit abroad. Congratulations to our armed forces for the sacrifices you have made, even at the peril of your lives, to protect life and property in the Boko conflict area. We need the cooperation of all to restore peace in Boko and its environs. And I entreat all sides to embrace peace as we dialogue to resolve this age-old dispute. Plans for the expansion of the Ghana Armed Forces to ensure increased capacity to counter both internal and external threats were initiated while I was in office in my previous term. During this period, we supervised the acquisition of air, land, and sea assets to equip the armed forces to fulfill their mandate of keeping our nation safe. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, in resetting our nation to build the Ghana we want, my government will aggressively pursue the ideas of operational and combat readiness of the Ghana Armed Forces. We'll resource the Ghana Armed Forces. This means better equipment, including more simulators, advanced training, and the ability to mobilize swiftly in times of need.
We can get more on this. Let's engage our correspondent, Albert Sori. Albert, what has the IGP been saying exactly?
So the IGP has just arrived at the palace of the overlord of the Kusan traditional area, at the Bokonabat Palace. He's been having a private meeting in his inner chambers where he's asked for forgiveness for any mistakes that his men may have made in the discharge of their duties here in Boko. He's also been assuring them that they are so committed to keeping the peace here in Boko and Upper East Region.
I spoke with you several times before I set up the journey. Boko number, I want to assure you that the military, the police, and all the other sister agencies of the security, their primary objective is to ensure that there is peace in Boko. It's our intention to make sure that we remain neutral in the course of our discharge of duties, to make sure that the people we visit, people we seek peace for, they will have that process of peace along the line before we depart this area.
Well, so that's the IGP. But Albert, tell us about the current state of businesses and the mood of business owners in the region.
There's a lot of tension. I can tell you that where we are currently, some of the youth have gathered at the palace of the chief, some of them wielding placards, calling for the government to do its work, some of them saying that they are tired of the politicking, and so on and so forth. They visibly look angry, but you can tell that they are being restrained from actually allowing that anger to spill over. Any moment from now, the IGP will emerge from having the private meeting with the chief to address the people from what I have seen. But I can tell you that the atmosphere here is very sensitive. Many of the youth.
Thank you so much, Albert. Sorry, but let's stay on this a tad bit longer because Member of Parliament for Boko Central, Mahama Yariga, is asking the factions to allow the Otumfuo-led Osei Tutu-led committee to do its work. So peace returns to the area. And my colleague, Blessed Sogan, is in the studio with me with a copy of the document. And Blessed, in the letter, the majority leader urges the youth in Boko to exercise restraint. What more does it say?
That's because as we speak, the majority leader confirms that he's out of the jurisdiction carrying out a number of activities. And now, beyond that as well, he's also confirming to us that his home or his private residence
was also in a way attacked through the statement. But ESEPs also quotes that my personal position on the matter has been known all over the years and has never changed. Quote, it will not change. I will agree with the youth of Kusog that another person cannot reside in Boko claiming to be a chief. But in reverence to the great Asantehene, I leave the matter to the Tunfo to resolve expeditiously. The law enforcement officers must also be cautious. The matter was referred then to President Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, who now allowed His Majesty Otunfo Osei II to handle the matter. Upon coming into office on January 7, 2025, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama requested Otunfo to continue with the process. I support President John Dramani Mahama's decision for very good reasons. I therefore once again appeal to everyone to exercise restraint and also allow the peace process led by the Otunfo to lead to its logical conclusion. So that's, you know, excerpts of the statement that we're receiving from the majority leader.
Thank you, Blessed Soga. And President Mahama is urging Ghanaians not to raise false alarms for partisan gain, but to support security agencies in protecting Ghana's peace. Speaking at a Ghana Military Academy graduation, he stressed that while public cooperation is vital, security forces cannot afford distractions. His remarks come amid controversy over alleged suspicious flights, which the minority claims were linked to drug trafficking, a claim the government seriously denies.
Our sub-region is affected by the scourge of terrorism. Terrorist attacks close to our northern border have become a regular feature. Ghana is also not immune from the influence and effects of the complex challenges posed by the global security environment. This is because globally non-state security actors are becoming, or in some instances, have already become central and pivotal. This situation requires a comprehensive approach to state security, and one cannot underestimate the importance of active participation of all our citizens in the security and stability of our state. As citizens of Ghana, we must recognize that the nature of contemporary threats that confront us demand that we do not perceive our security services as the exclusive institutions responsible for our safety and security. The complementary roles of individuals, organizations, and the government in national security is of critical importance. I urge our citizens in discharging this complementary duty of helping to safeguard our security not to behave like the shepherd boy in the famous fable who cried wolf, wolf when there was no wolf. If we behave like that boy, either for partisan or parochial interest, we distract the attention of our security services from focusing on their critical job of keeping us safe. Let us support our security services and the Ghana Armed Forces with information that is useful and intelligence that is helpful, that will advance their work rather than retrogress it. Let me reiterate that we will take all allegations of crime seriously and trigger our security service investigative machinery to go after criminals no matter who they are. But let me state emphatically also that we do not have the resources and time to engage in any game of smoke and mirrors.
Presidential Affairs Correspondent Maxwell Agbagba joins us with more. Maxwell, we know the president attended that event in full military naval attire, and we've also listened to him, but expatiate for us. What else has he been saying?
Well, yes, indeed, sweetie. President Mahama surprised many by arriving at the Ghana Military Academy graduation ceremony in full naval attire, complete with a sword, that drew a lot of applause from the people gathered. In his speech, he said the gesture was a tribute to the gallant soldiers of Ghana and their sacrifices. He also promised to ensure merit-based appointments in the military and to prioritize the welfare of Ghanaian soldiers.
Thank you so much, Maxwell Agbagba. And taking us on a break now, when we return, we have sports, and then we'll tell you about the health minister, his confrontation with Bridge Hospital authorities over a two-year breakdown of MRI CT scan machines. You're still listening to the Midday News here live on Joy 99.7 FM. And let's get straight into sports. Achua, here the Black Stars are in the news.
Yes, they are. And it's because former Ghana international Mohamed Polo, he has said qualifying for the next World Cup is non-negotiable. And that the Ghana Football Association and the team have no excuses. His argument is that the World Cup has been expanded to accommodate 9 African teams. And it is one that at all costs, Ghana has to be among the continent's best 9 teams.
Have a lot of work to do. Fortunately, this present one, these are the ones who have left now. These are Asamoahians, appeared. They've left without winning Africa, but they were able to qualify to the World Cup. Fine. And they've been there 4 times. But this time, it's 9 slots. There is no way they have to lose. They shouldn't be missing there. We don't want to see that AFCON issue then. It should not happen. So they have to come together as a family. It's a football family. So now they are a family now. They have to come together and understand each other so that they play for Ghana and play for themselves.
That's the gospel according to Mohammed.
Mm. Thank you for bringing us sports at you. And now let me tell you about the health minister, Kwabena Mintakando, because he's expressed strong displeasure over the non-functional MRI and CT scan machines at the Greater Accra Regional Hospital. In a confrontation engagement with the hospital authorities, Reverend Dr. Raf Ama, medical doctor at the Ridge Hospital, said the machines have been out of service for more than 2 years.
The MRI, there's a problem with what we call the inspector to the healer. The MRI head works by magnetism, so there's a lot of components that go into it to work. So basically, the magnetic head has quenched, but the CT scan was fixed, and then there was a technical problem, and then 5 of the detectors were damaged.
But see, I don't have a problem when you are using a machine and the machine is faulty or is down. Mm-hmm. But I have a problem when the machine is faulty or is down for 2 years. That's where my problem is coming from.
Honorable, I took over a year ago and I tried to fix this. And so if we can get the head of radiology,
yes, I want
the September 2024, the CT scan was fixed, but it also temporarily had a problem. So we are looking at ways of having the whole thing refixed. But basically the other 4 modalities are working, which we can take you through. So the only modalities that are not working are the CT and the MRI.
We can get more on this as well. My colleague Collins Frimpong is with the minister and joins us on the line. Collins, what other issues has the minister been confronted with?
So right after he getting to know that the MRI scan and also the CT scan not working, he moved to the emergency ward, and where he realized that the washrooms at the emergency ward are not working. All of them are not working. So any patient within that particular ward needs to walk a distance away, just about 2 to 3 minutes, to a nearby washroom. So as a result of that, he has requested for an emergency meeting with the management of the hospital. So currently they are in a meeting.
Do you know anything coming out from the meeting yet?
Not anything that comes out. We will let you know.
Well, thank you so much, Collins. And now let's do some other stories. The education minister has directed head teachers of all senior high schools to conduct routine snap checks to curb gun violence and other attacks on campuses. This follows a shooting incident at Adventist Senior High School in Kumasi, where a 16-year-old student accidentally shot a classmate with a locally made pistol. The injured student has been treated and is in stable condition. And the minister, Haruna Idrisu, says the new directive is part of broader efforts to rid schools of weapons and ensure safety.
So in respect of the Ghanaian development of shooting in Kumasi, the Director General of the GES has the full support of government for you to strengthen your inspections in order that guns, knives, and other violent tools and equipment are not found in our schools. You have the full support of government to initiate those inspections at the weekend. We have to nip it in the bud as early as possible and as practically as possible in order that we allow for a serene student environment. This cannot be part of the training of a Ghanaian child. That is immoral, that is violent, that is not Ghanaian culture. I've also noted, and I'd like to respond to the matter raised by the President of Charles on your behalf, parent associations. Ours is that we should strengthen the relationship between the schools and its management, and in particular, parents, in order that you remain at the forefront of the moral, intellectual, and academic development of our world. It is only a harmonious and cordial relationship that can deliver safe. When I heard about the shooting incident in Kumasi, my immediate response was, this is un-Ghanaian. The Director General of GES have issued some directives and instructions. He has our full policy support and approval to enforce those directives.
However, in a bid to put an end to the attack, Sector Minister Rino Iduzu says head teachers are being empowered to initiate measures that will rid the school of ammunition. Well, we'll bring you those sounds, that sound in a bit. But moving on, the government plans to pass a law removing the requirement for years of experience before employment. Speaking to Joy News, Chief Executive Officer of the Youth Employment Agency, Malik Basintale, urged employers to give young people a chance to prove themselves instead of demanding experience.
I stated emphatically too that we are in talks with His Excellency the President to pass a law that will scrap that years of experience usually demanded by industry before they recruit young people. One of the questions I keep asking myself is that you finish school as a young person, which company should take the risk of recruiting you? So when you get the experience, another company comes to absorb you. No company will be willing to do that, but they should believe in us. I stated there that they should try us. They should give us the opportunity to prove ourselves. And as young people in this country, I believe that once that opportunity is given, we shall not take it for granted.
Well, Ghana is grappling with a mounting plastic waste crisis, with projections indicating the country could generate over 330,000 tons of plastic waste annually by 2030. This alarming trend has sparked urgent calls for sustainable alternatives, with environmental experts sounding the alarm on the ecological toll and urging a national shift towards paper-based and biodegradable packaging solutions. Jennifer August has more in this report.
Across Ghana, single-use plastics have become deeply entrenched in daily life. Plastic bags, bottles and wrappers are commonplace, with widespread use largely normalized. However, the environmental consequences are often overlooked. Project Director of Fresh Pact, Dr. Binizalaye, warns that if current trends continue, Ghana could be producing over 330,000